All right, so let's roll into our next session.
Excellent, let's do just that. So if we have a look at this one, we're moving on to document databases,
yep.
The third kind of category of databases that we're gonna look at. We've done relational, we've done key value, now we're gonna take a look at document databases. So there we are, we're into our fourth module, we're gonna have a look at document stores. So we're going to cover off as an agenda, we'll have a look at what is a document store, okay? Again, why and why not? So that's what are document stores optimal for using? What are they not optimal at doing? What are the options in Azure? So how would you run a document store in Azure? And then we do a couple of kind of demos at the end.
Yep.
So let's start off by going, what's a document database, all right? And when you first kind of think, well, document, I usually think Word, Excel, PDF, PowerPoint, you know, text files, whatever. Those are documents,
yep.
Right? A document store is not for this kind of document, okay? So a document database is not a SharePoint that's a document management system that stores your documents, can index your documents, can do version history. That's not what a document database is, all right? So it's not for this kind of database. It's actually for this kind of document, okay? And this document here that I see, that you see on the screen, is a JSON document, okay? So it's a document represented as JSON, and that's what this is for, okay? And it's JSON spelled J-S-O-N for JavaScript Object Notation, not a person's name, JSON.
So it's not the document author.
No, it's not the author, the name of the person that authored the document.
Yep.
It's JSON for, as in J-S-O-N.
Yep.
Okay, so what is a document store? It's part of the NoSQL family of databases, right? So it's part of that, the general classification of databases. They really are built for simplicity, scale, and performance, right? So simplicity, you know, in the world we live in today, we build applications that are, we iterate on them so quickly, right? We want to get up and running really, really quickly. We want to get an application out there. We want to kind of iterate on it really, really quickly. We want something that's simple. Okay, we want something that can scale beyond the capacity of just a single machine. So you talked in relational about scaling up, right? I want something that can scale more than just the confines of a single box, and I really want kind of performance. It's non-relational, okay? No schema is enforced.
So no schema,
okay?
Wait.
There is no schema in a document database, all right? Or There are inferred schemas at sometimes, okay? But none of the databases actually enforce that schema, okay? So you can have anything you like inside of that JSON document, and the database doesn't mind, all right? Okay. Yet, so it's flexible schema like tables, all right? But you now get flexible query options, okay? Whereas I can query on things inside of that document, okay? Whereas with a key value, I was always querying on the key, but never really the value. Document database is the other way around, okay? We throw away the notion of a key particularly, and we give you the ability to query on the actual value of that document and anything in that document. And there's the fundamental difference between those, okay? So if you've worked with a document database, I mean, if you go look at the database ranking sites, right? The sites that rank database popularity. If you're going to have a look at them, obviously we've got SQL Server right up there, we've got Oracle Server right up there as, you know, most popularly used databases. But then we're starting to see the rapid rise of other databases that are coming up there. And a lot of those in the next kind of section of that popularity list are these document databases. And why is it that document databases are just gaining so much kind of appeal? And it's mainly for this kind of reason here, is that they appeal to developers. Okay, so when you're building an application, you typically go in and you start writing some code. You design your domain model, you build your models, and then you start writing some code. You write how these get presented on your views, and you go, right? And, you know, we saw that as this code-first development is something that's become really popular. An entity framework introduced code-first development for relational databases, where the database gets inferred from your code, all right? Now, document databases are all about that. Okay, you write your code, and that code takes those objects, converts them to JSON and stores them in the database.
And JSON, I mean, that works really well across, well, pretty much all language stacks.
Absolutely,
right?
It's ubiquitous. It's everywhere. You know, it's on your mobile device. Mm-hmm. It's in your browser. It's everywhere. Okay. Yep. So one of the other things that, you know, because we're iterating really, really quickly, and we're deploying weekly, we're deploying daily, we're deploying every minute. Every time you check something into source control, we're doing these continuous deploys to production. You know, you really don't want to kind of be held back by these changes to your schema. You know, you don't want to have to take your database offline, update your fixed, your rigid schema. You know, you just want to be able to go in, change your model, change the JSON that's getting produced, and store it in your database. And you just want your application to keep going. And that's really what these things are designed about. And that's why the no schema or schema free is really, really important.
Great. Okay.
And they really offer richer query capabilities and indexing compared to key value stores. Right, so key value store we saw was only keyed on the key, right? Document databases, you can key on anything you like inside of the document, okay? And, you know, in ORM we looked, in relational, we looked at this impedance mismatch, right? Where you've got a record that exists in your database and you've got your domain model that exists in your code and you need this mapper tool to kind of map from one to the other. Now, in document databases, you don't need that. Because they send JSON and they retrieve JSON, and you're working with JSON in your application, you have no need for this kind of mapping in between. Okay, so you don't need an ORM in document databases, and that's one of the big appeals, right? It just works. I take my object, I serialize it to JSON, send it over the wire, and my database stores it. I do a query, the database sends me back JSON. I take that JSON, I deserialize it back into my object. And now I can just keep coding, all right? Okay. It's fast to get going. You know, it really just kind of, it takes a couple of seconds to get up and running, right? I don't have to go create table and write store procs and, you know, all of that stuff. I just say, hey, database, here's an entity, go and persist it. And it just does it, right? And they're also really fast in terms of transactions per second. You know, this whole notion of kind of scaling out and you shard your data, you know, document databases really do perform incredibly well over vast amounts of data. Great. All right, so let's take a look at something like, in this case, we're gonna have a look at one of the services that are on Azure, okay? So one of the options in Azure you can run as a service is this thing called document database. Okay, so let's take a look at kind of what a document database looks like. So if we take a look, you have a simple kind of code snippet at the top that is client.createDocument, okay? And it's taking a new family. Now that family is just a .NET POCO object, okay? I'm not going through any mapper anywhere in there. I'm initializing up a family object and I'm saying, hey, database, go create this thing for me. And it'll create me a document, right? In DocumentDB, we've got a SQL query-like language. Or SQLite query language, okay? Because even though it's SQL in a NoSQL database, that's a bit weird, but SQL is just the language, right? It's structured query language. And you have some structure. You're saying, give me something from somewhere where some cognition is true. And that's what I'm doing here. I'm saying, give me all properties from this collection where the documents in that collection have an ID equal to a value.
So it's interesting, you're using the SQL language, not a SQL database, this reinforces a bit of what we were talking about earlier, that this NoSQL, it doesn't necessarily mean the absence of SQL language. It's really a non-relational type of story.
You know, as we saw from the kind of intro slides, I actually work on the DocumentDB team, so this one's, you know, close to my heart. And we chose to use the SQL query language specifically because of one of the strengths of relational databases. People are very, very, very familiar and comfortable with an ANSI SQL language. So we chose to implement our query language as an ANSI SQL query language rather than inventing something new that you'd have to go and learn, just to kind of lower the barrier to entry a little bit, right? Take advantage of skills that you already have.
Sure.
And then, you know, not everybody likes writing kind of out SQL query. You know, .NET developers, you want to write link. Well, you know, there's a link provider, so you can do things like that. Mm-hmm. You can say, you know, and that'll execute the same kind of query. So that's simple with DocumentDB, right?
Yeah, so maybe we dive into what, you know, you've already talked about some of the reasons why we'd use it, but maybe we dive in a little more detail.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you want to take a look at use cases and applicability where document DBs really, really shine, document databases really shine, you know, where you want to be able to do things like, you know, the one that rang true for me and why I got excited with a document database, the very first document database I worked with, I was trying to model, I was building an e-commerce shopping application, and I was trying to model the catalog of products that they had. And I was doing my head in trying to kind of figure out how to get a SQL Server table that had columns that defined every product that I was trying to sell. Because I was selling things from, you know, ebooks to services by the hour to, you know, actual physical products that I could pack up and ship. But the products didn't look the same. They didn't. I was like, how do I design a table like this? And I did a little bit of looking around, and that's when I first found out about my first NoSQL kind of database. And I went, this is really interesting. Because now I can model a motor vehicle that looks like this, and I can model an online service that looks like this, and I can model a download product that you buy from me that looks like this, and I can just store them all in the same catalog. That was amazing.
Yeah, so you've really knocked down that barrier, the complexity barrier. Yep.
It's gone. You know, there's a whole bunch of these other ones where you want to kind of be able to use cases that work really, really well for document databases. So less optimal case. I think if we spend a little bit of time again on the less optimal case, because like all databases, they shine at doing certain things, but they're not so good at doing other things. And yes, golden hammer, you could force everything into a document database. You know, if you speak to vendor X, they would say, do everything in our document database. It's the all-purpose database. Mm-hmm. You know, there are some things that document databases don't do so well.
So you say complex relational data. What kind of data? Are we talking about transactions across different entities?
Absolutely. So, you know, when I mean complex relational data, right, I don't mean, you know, like one document relates to another document kind of thing. I really do mean, you know, where you've got this really complicated relational model where you've got potentially an entity that has 15, 20, 100 different relationships. And when I do a select across that, I'm pulling out, you know, all these other things, combining them up. Or when I'm doing an update to that record, it's cascading those down across, you know, 100 different tables. That's really complex relational data.
Okay.
Don't try and do that stuff in a document database. You're going to have a very, very painful life if you try and do complex relational data inside of a document database.
Okay.
And these complex MapReduce aggregations, this, I mean, like, you know, there are some document databases that have aggregation frameworks, and they work kind of well on some simple, you know, aggregations, MapReduce type stuff. But if you're doing MapReduce over terabytes and petabytes worth of data, potentially not the right kind of place. There are other tools that are much better suited to doing MapReduce over petabytes of data.
Okay.
If you're doing distributed transactions, if you're doing OLAP type, you know, analysis of your data when you want to slice it up in by different dimensions, potentially not the best place.
And certainly one thing I notice about the relational database world is that the tools for reporting analysis services are
so good.
They're plentiful.
And, so good. Yeah. Absolutely. So, you know, again, and this is where we'll talk a little bit about, you know, later on in the day, where one solution actually doesn't just pick a single database. Because so far, everyone has had optimal use cases and not so optimal, you know. So, you know, and we'll get to that a little bit later. But these are some of the non-optimal use cases.
Okay. So what can we do in Azure?
Anything you want to do.
All right.
Well, okay, maybe not. So what can we do around document databases?
No, I'm quoting you on that.
No, you're not going to quote me on that one. All right. So what can you do around document databases in Azure? So again, we break it up into our two categories. Platform as a service on the one hand, infrastructure as a service on the other hand, right? Platform as a service, you get multiple options. You get Azure Document DB, document database built as a service by Microsoft, delivered in Azure.
Right, that's a native service.
Yeah, native service built by us.
Just like our storage service.
Yeah, just like storage, the SQL database, you know, those kind of things. And then we, as part of this partner ecosystem that we're really growing, we've got other options. So we've got hosted Mongo options, so MongoDB being one of the world's most popular document databases. We have MongoLab and Mongo Inc. Provide actual Mongo services that you can use. We even have Raven. So RavenDB is a .NET document database. We have RavenHQ, which offers a deployed and managed Raven experience for you. So you can go into the partner marketplace and purchase one of those, or you can use a native service.
Sure.
And then we got VMs. I mean, and the list here is just it's
spin one up and go.
Spin one up and go. And there are so many different ones. There's MongoDB, CouchDB, Couchbase, RangoDB, Foundation. You know, there's just so many of these different kind of document databases out there. And again, mm-hmm. it's if you can run it on Windows or Linux, you can run it on Azure.
Fantastic.
Right. Okay. So those are your options. Yeah. You know, pretty broad. So let's do a quick demo of Azure Document DB, right? What does it look like? How do you get up and running on it? That kind of stuff. So if we jump across to the portal, and we go to browse, and I want to browse my document databases somewhere. There you go, document database accounts. And they come up, and you'll see I have a couple. Let's kind of go into, well, let's provision a new one. So I'll show you how to provision a new one. So you go down to document database. Okay, it's still a preview service for now, but that'll change shortly. But you know, when it comes out of preview, it'll come out of preview pretty shortly. So let's just do this. Let's do polyglot demo docdb. All right, I can pick a stat. I can pick my capacity unit. And a capacity is kind of cool because a capacity unit is how you scale document database, right? So we were talking about scaling out. Now, what a capacity unit does today is it gives you 10 gig container with a container, up to three containers that you can store 10 gig of data in, right?
Okay.
So each capacity unit comes with three of these collections today, and you can kind of pick those and you can scale out. So if I went to 50, I could create 150 containers of 10 gig in size, right? So I'm going to pick one capacity unit so I don't burn all my Azure budget.
And I guess we can theoretically go over that 50, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think these are just preview limits today, and you can get a hold of us and we'll raise those for you. We've got some internal customers today that run, you know, 600-700 kind of these collections because they're big multi-tenanted SaaS solutions. Again, you pick your resource group, pick your subscription, choose your location. I'm going to pick not West Europe. Yeah, why not? We'll give Europe some love for a change. We always pick West US. So we'll give Europe some love. And we'll create it. And there it will sit on your board, on your start board for a while. This takes a couple of minutes to spin up. So let me grab one that I've already spun up before. And you can see this is what comes up. And you can monitor your requests. You can see your estimated usage, your size, you know, how much size you've used. There you can see I've got 960K of a 10 gig database, right? I've got one database in there called the shopping site. If I wanted to add another database, I could do this and just go test. And that'll create me a database. And then I've got this notion of a collection in a database, right? Okay. And I want to create a collection. So I'm just going to create a test collection. And this is this actual container that I was talking about. So in my one CU, I'm allowed to create three of these, right? So I'm going to create a test collection. And there it comes up. There's my test collection. All right, and we get the options to, under developer tools, we've got Document Explorer and Query Explorer. Now, if I go to Document Explorer here, you'll see I've got no documents because I've just created this database and I've just created the collection. So let me create a quick document, right? And all I'm doing here is I'm entering in some JSON. So Ryan's test doc, and we'll say something like message. So I'm just editing in some JSON. If you're not familiar with the, you know, what I'm actually writing in, oops, if I can type. So we'll go, hello world, literally. Okay, and that's my document. It's got two little properties in it, and I just save it here, and you can see it's just JSON. Now if I kind of come back, I can go to the Query Explorer, and I can do something like select, and I can run this, and there's my document. Okay, so you see it comes back with JSON fragment again. This is an array of JSON elements. And here I've got the document I created. You'll see all these other kinds of system properties, and that's why they're all in underscore. Okay, but these are some other properties we add, like an etag and a couple of other things, which we'll talk about when we do a deep dive in Document DB. But that's my database.
And so you're putting, right now, you're putting this one document into a collection.
Yeah.
And you can put as many documents as you want into that collection.
Up to 10 gig.
Right,
size, yeah.
And then you can create other collections for other purposes. So,
but
you know, per, yeah.
I can come in here. What's really nice is watch this. I can now go and kind of create a new document, and I can completely do something different. Okay, So this one I can kind of actually say in here, I've got child, for instance. Okay. So I can do something completely different. Mm-hmm. What's really nice is that the schema kind of looks, can be completely different.
Okay.
So I can create a JSON document that's entirely different, and I can save that. And because there's no schema, the database is just going to go, hey, it's a piece of JSON. Cool.
Yeah. I'll store it for you. Cool.
All right. And that's literally how quick and easy it is to get up and running with DocumentDB. And off you go. You know.
Well, fantastic.
Open your app and you start developing against it.
Yeah, and I guess like our other services, you could access this from any language, and I guess we have some.
You know, you can access it over REST. If you like writing native REST APIs, or you can fire up Postman or Fiddler, and you can actually do your REST queries directly there, which is pretty cool. Or, like most developers like myself, I would go to NuGet or NPM, and I'd pull down the driver, and I would use that driver in code, rather than trying to craft HTTP posts myself.
Okay.
Cool.
So why don't we
That was a
over.
Quick demo of Azure in DocumentDB. Yeah. Let's now switch over to David, and he can walk us through a little bit of MongoDB on Azure.
Sure. So what I have up on my screen is our older portal.
Okay.
All right, so it looks a little bit different. Not everything has been moved over to the new portal yet. So in this case, let's take a look at this one thing. We have the marketplace. So this is our entry point for our partners.
Mm-hmm.
So if we take a look at...
That's that part of ecosystem that I was talking about.
Right. So, whoops. Let's go ahead and for Marketplace and take a look at some of the services. And if we scroll down, I mean, there are just
that list
dozens,
keeps getting big.
Dozens and dozens. But you can see right in the Marketplace here, we have some of our hosted partners for MongoDB. Mm-hmm. So MongoDB Inc. and we have MongoLab. So both of these give you the option of just choosing the capacity you want.
Different service offerings and different pricing and that kind
right,
of thing.
Right, a different level of replication and durability, the amount of storage, and you say, I want to go, and next thing you know, you have a connection string, you have credentials, and you plug those into your applications, and you're off and running.
Someone else is looking after that. And
right, that's what these guys specialize in, is monitoring management and taking backups and
so the same as Microsoft runs Azure DocumentDB, Mongo Inc. runs, or MongoLab will run their service and look after it.
Exactly. Okay. So then if you wanted to work on your own, like I spun up a virtual machine here. So if we just took a look at some of this.
Okay, so now this is if you don't want to even use a managed service, you want to run infrastructure as a service, right?
Right, so...
Because you're specific about what you actually wanted to do. Okay.
That particular machine, wrong window. So if I wanted to connect to that machine. So now I'm actually in that Linux VM right now.
Using SSH.
Yeah. So it's running MongoDB. Yeah. You know, I could run the command prompt for it.
You can start executing some stuff in here if you wanted to.
Yeah, so the key point is, I mean, I'm connected to the local MongoDB server running in this virtual machine. So
from SSH on your local machine.
At this point, I could just use the databases. I'd use any other MongoDB database, and I can choose my firewall rules.
You can choose whatever.
Right, just like we were talking about before.
With SQL on a VM.
I can make this private to a virtual network so that only my web stack or API stack can get to it. Okay. I can open up the port to the public.
You can choose what version of Mongo you want to run. You know, if you don't want to run, if you wanted to run 3, which is not out yet, you could run 3.
Right, I'm a little behind right now. This is 2.6. Yeah. Version 3 is release candidate, be out any day. But I have another virtual machine where I'm running version 3. It really doesn't matter. And you choose how much storage you want, and you're off
and
running.
And if you didn't want to run, if you wanted to run Couchbase or CouchDB or whatever it is, you'd again spin up your Linux box, grab the latest community build of CouchDB and install it, and off you go.
Yeah, and in this particular case, I installed it. I went to their website and just downloaded the bits, and it's pretty straightforward.
Excellent.
Yeah, so again, choose what
MongoDB
you want to run.
MongoDB on Azure. Again, you've got platform as a service, or you've got infrastructure as a service, and you can actually choose what you want to do to whatever suits your application's needs.
Yep.
Okay, awesome. So in summary then, on this module around document stores, what we covered here is what is a document store, right? So it's not a place to store Word docs, PDFs, Excels, text files, that kind of stuff. I mean, you could Base64 encode the binary and store it, but that would be silly. It's really about storing documents in the form of JSON, right? Or a derivative of JSON like BSON, which is what Mongo stores. We covered off kind of why you'd want to use it. So that's for richer query capabilities than key values have. Flexible schemas, so you're not bound to the schema. It's really about developer first, get up and running quickly, iterate quickly. Really about kind of scale out and performance, right? That's what these things are really, really good at. So that's where they really do shine. Where I potentially wouldn't use a document store when I got these very complex kind of relationships, when I want to do things like analysis services where I want to slice and dice my data, when I want to do these big, massive MapReduce type jobs over petabytes worth of data. That kind of stuff, that's when they're not so good. And then we covered what the options in Azure were. So platform as a service, you've got Azure Document DB, MongoLab, Raven HQ, you know, and then on VMs, you've got whatever you want to run on a VM.
Sure.
Okay. If it runs on Linux or Azure, it runs Linux or Windows, it runs in Azure, right? And then we took a quick look at Azure Document DB, how to spin one up. We took a look at some of the options of Mongo on Azure, and that gives you a good kind of idea, right?
Yeah, it's fantastic.
So that's that module. That's a wrap on document databases. And what they are and what they're not and how you should use them.
All right, now I know where to put my PDFs. This is
not in a document database. Okay. So just as a reminder, at the end of this module, which is now, we're going to have a meal break and we'll be back in about an hour. So we will see you then.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the meal break.